The haunting sounds you've just tasted are from the Travis Fripp album entitled Thread. The track is called Unspoken. So it's with great pleasure that I have joined Theo for a quick chat at his home in Finchley, North London. Theo, many thanks for your kind invitation to visit and opening your lovely house to me this morning.
Pleasure.
I've been following your career quite interestingly for the last couple of years. More so because as a flute player myself, I've noticed that you are stretching the boundaries, certainly with your alto flute playing. And I just thought it'd be nice to understand more about you yourself, you as a person, because you're not just an alto flute player or a flute player. As I've come to realise as I've got to know you in the past few years, you are known as a saxophone player. So can you just take a few moments to explain to my listeners, or our listeners, sorry, a bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I started off on flute as a child. Flute was my first instrument. But then around the age of 14 or 15, when I was playing in jazz bands in Birmingham and then subsequently in my first rock band, Fundamental Furniture, I got more into saxophone. And it was not that much later that I kind of stopped playing the flute for several years and really concentrated on learning the sax and learning jazz and playing lots of jazz. And then I came back to the flute a few years later when I was playing in an African band, actually, and they wanted a couple of flute solos, which I did. And gradually I got more into the flute, especially as I became involved in what you might call experimental music, ambient music, music that incorporated acoustic instruments and electronic processing. And when in 2002 I tried my alto flute with some kind of looping processing pedals, I fell in love with the sound, and then it became very much a part of my armory, or what I do, and I started incorporating that into jazz gigs, into solo projects, working with other people as well, and it became very much a sound that I developed.
So unusually, it's been a flip process for you, starting as a flute player and then graduating onto the saxophone, rather than what is commonly seen in the field, where sax players then graduate onto the flute as
yes,
a second instrument.
Yes, I think that's definitely, well, it's definitely right in terms of the way it was. And because I've spent, well, probably from the ages of 8 to 15 playing the flute and not the saxophone, maybe that contributed to my embouchure development or my flute sound. So that when I came back to it after a few years off, there was a kind of core sound that I had that I could build on, and it wasn't coming to it purely from a saxophone player's point of view.
So you obviously started with very much a classical bent to your teaching as starting on the flute.
Yeah, completely.
Did you naturally have a feel for jazz, or was that something that only started when you started to learn the saxophone?
I did start in the usual way, flute, grades, teacher, school orchestras, etc. It was probably around the age of 14, 15, I started improvising a bit on the flute, but a key thing was I had a friend who was a keyboard player who was very into jazz, and he was very instrumental in opening me up to trying out improvising. He would play things and just get me to improvise and play along. And that was initially on the flute, but as I say, shortly afterwards I started learning the saxophone. So it would have been the same time I started improvising, started playing the saxophone, started playing in a rock band, in pubs, etc. It was a key time, that sort of 14, 15 age.
So from when you started playing the sax, did the flute just disappear back into the box because it was uncool, or did you continue to keep it up?
No, the actual way it happened was I was playing the flute, I started playing the sax, but I still applied to university to study, well, it was a music degree, but specialising in flute as my performance instrument. So I got into, it was Manchester University I went, and I got in on the flute and had flute lessons, and I was basically teaching myself the saxophone. I went on some summer jazz courses. But strangely, after 6 months, maybe a year, I just found the flute wasn't getting any better. In fact, wasn't developing it at all, whereas the sax was improving in leaps and bounds. So it was at that stage, and only that stage, that I asked if I could swap my main instrument, my first study, from flute to saxophone. And I auditioned with the saxophone teacher at the Royal Northern College of Music, Neville Duckworth, who was great, and he said fine, and then he took over as my main teacher, and I did classical saxophone as my main study. And it was basically then that once I was doing that, I pretty well dropped the flute altogether and put it back in the box for quite a few years. But up to then, I was still working hard at the flute, and as I say, those few years, 15 to 19 or whatever, working quite a lot at them both.
Looking at your development and your recordings, recent recordings, certainly the Travis Fripp recordings, and I know you have one coming out in the coming weeks, the flute, and especially the alto flute in particular, has sort of made more of an impact into your working life.
Very much so. I mean, several years ago, when I started playing flute again, first with this African band and subsequently in my own jazz quartet, I very much got into the flute. And in fact, I bought a new one, which I found was quite inspiring, and I was working quite hard. And so I was introducing that, working on the jazz side of flute and improvising, jazz improvisation on flute. And then when I subsequently bought the alto flute, it's just a sound that I love, basically. I found it really resonates, that extra depth to the sound, the extra breadth to the tone that you get with an alto flute. Because it's a fourth down, you get the extra four notes at the bottom, but it's not just those four notes, four tones that you get. It's the extra warmth and the bigness of tone in the higher registers as well. And there's also a kind of mystery, there's a sort of mysterious sound to the alto flute that I just particularly like. And so once I got that, I just fell in love with it, really, and started using it in various projects. And the projects would be sometimes partly led by the alto flute sound, and then when I subsequently got into electronics and processing, again, it wasn't changing the flute sound. I mean, one key thing I should say is that sometimes when people get involved in foot pedals and using programs to process their sound, they change the flute sound. So they might take a flute and make it sound distorted or very, you know, a sort of chorus effect, or they'll make it sound like an electric guitar or have wah-wahs, etc. I wasn't really interested in that, and I haven't done much of that at all. What I was interested in was putting it through a kind of looping system, so that instead of playing one alto flute, I could be playing 10 alto flutes, and instead of having one melodic line that stops when I breathe, I could have a tapestry of 10 alto flutes, so build chords and build textures, and it could be an endless texture, so that when I breathe it doesn't stop, it can just build and build. And that was very interesting as a single line player, to be able to play lots of lines and build up whole canvases of sound on your own live is it's something quite special, and it opens up a whole range of possibilities and sounds that otherwise one simply doesn't have.
It's very much working on the edge, potentially dangerous pitfalls.
It's unknown territory. Sort of was to me. It was very much experimenting, but it didn't feel that dangerous, because I'd just try it, and if I thought it worked, I'd do it, and if I thought it sounded rubbish, I'd stop it.
So you mentioned canvas. Yeah, I can imagine it's like painting a canvas, but when you paint, you can use different brushes. Can you layer using different flutes? And is it possible to be able to swap from one to another during the layering process?
Yes, you can do. I mean, you can start the sort of layering process on one instrument and set up various layers with that, and then simply pick up another instrument and do it with that. And I do it a bit on the Thread album, and also it's the Live at Coventry Cathedral album that's just about to come out. And of course, that was a little bit more dangerous because it is live, and you have to balance the different volume levels of the different instruments. And of course, another thing I have to think about, particularly live, when it's all done in real time, is the transposing of the different instruments. Because if you're playing concert flute, it's in C. Then I pick up the alto flute and I'm thinking, okay, this piece is roughly going along in, say, E. Well, then I can't play an E on the alto flute because it'll come out as a B. So I have to think a fourth up. So then I'll have to be aware of what the key is that on the alto flute. And then if I put that down and pick up the soprano, well, the soprano's in B flat. So I have to be very aware of what key the pieces or what the layers are, because when I pick up the new instrument, I have to play it in the right key.